Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. We're excited to be with you, talking with you today about how to save your marriage, even if you are separated. Now, if you don't know who we are, my name is Heather Choate, and I am the co-owner and co-founder of High Thrive Coaching with Mark Johnston, who is here today. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thank you.
We have all kinds of fun stuff going on. So we are excited to be with you here today to talk about how to save your marriage, even if you're dealing with separation, which I know a lot of couples are when they come to us. We are the ICU for marriages. Before we get into that, we're going to share our client win of the week. And Mark, this is one of your clients. You're going to share a name change for privacy's sake, but go ahead and share their win.
Yeah, so I was really happy just this other week. I had a client come in and I had just seen him, I think a couple of days earlier. So I was really surprised to see him pop up in my schedule again. And a large piece of that is because, you know, he had this big breakthrough. So Matt had really been struggling to figure out, okay, why had his wife been pulling away the last year and a half? And she'd been becoming more and more distant. He was explaining to me, he would try to talk to her and she just would refuse. And meanwhile, she's recognizing, yeah, this must suck for you and this must be terrible. So it wasn't just in his head. Everyone was kind of seeing it. And he's like, I have no idea. She just won't say anything. Finally, we tried poking around at this a bit and had a bit of a breakthrough when his wife finally agreed to sit down with him and have a chat and basically spill all of her concerns. And, you know, at first Matt came to me, he's like, what do I do with all this? Here's all this list of concerns. And I had to reassure him. I was like, Matt, this is good. This is okay. We want her talking to you about all the problems rather than sitting on it and building up resentment and pulling further away. And just the fact that they were able to have this conversation is leading to more and it's leading to some solutions. So I was really happy, even though it seemed like such an odd thing that his wife was finally able to complain about what he had been doing. Seems like such an odd thing to be excited about, but it really was. It was a big moment.
Yeah, kind of like breaking the dam, right? Of breaking through all that resistance. As I'm talking to people in masterclasses and stuff too, I always let them know, to get communication going, it's usually going to be really ugly at first, but that's actually a win because we got to get the gunk out so that we can start to heal the wound underneath. Otherwise, it's going to continue to fester and be really unhealthy. So that's a really good sign. And now it's going to, like you said, lead to more open communication and deeper levels of connection.
Oh, and even beyond that, I would so much rather with anyone that I'm seeing, I'd much rather see anger or upset feelings rather than apathy. And we say that a lot here. I think I bring this up a lot when we're talking about getting communication a bit more open. We would much rather see those more intense emotions than apathy. Apathy is really not an easy thing to work with.
Right. So, Mark, how to save your marriage, even if you are separated?
Yeah, this is I want to address the elephant in the room because I'm looking at the title for our podcast here, how to save your marriage, even if you're separate. I don't know. To me, I have to sometimes look at our own podcast titles and marketing, I have to be like, this sounds a little clickbaity. And I was like, so many people make claims, I can solve everything. Is your marriage completely gone? I'll save your marriage in just, 2 minutes or less. Some sort of ridiculous claim. I want to point out, yes, lots of people claim to be able to solve this issue. And I'm also going to point out, this is not please don't go into the same, okay, if I listen to this podcast, everything's going to be solved. I do want to help you all, Heather and I both want to help you all understand what's going on and understand some very common obstacles and get you started on the right foot on how to solve these things. That's the point of this. Do I think it's going to be helpful? Very much so. I also just want you to be realistic with your expectations going into this, because these deep relationship issues, if it's gotten to this point of separation, they're complicated and they're many layered, and you need to be willing to invest some time and effort and get some help if you really, really want to solve it. So just wanted to get that out of the way there. So you had a question though, like the whole title of the podcast is the question, how do we save a marriage even if it's gotten to the point of separation? I want to discuss a little bit with you, Heather. First, what brings a relationship to this point even in the first place? Because I think that's a good point to start, a good piece to understand if you're trying to resolve this. So what are a few reasons? What do you think, Heather?
Yeah, so there's a several that we tend to see as we've worked with, you know, thousands of couples and had hundreds of thousands of different conversations, right? So there's a couple key things that lead to it, but usually it's a lot that brings it to this point. This doesn't usually just happen overnight. Even with couples that we hear, like, I was blindsided, I had no clue. The reality is that your spouse at least has been thinking about this or contemplating it for a long time, to the point where now you are physically separated. And one of the main things that we see is that the separation can give some relief from some of the emotional or even physical pain that may be occurring when you guys are together. So sometimes people will separate and, you know, possibly seek divorce if there's just an overabundance of pain, right? Daddy. Things like, oh, I got a toddler that just came in. So Mark, you want to
take it? Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with what Heather was saying. A lot of things can really create a whole lot of extra pain. And we're talking emotional or physical. You know, obviously, if there's physical abuse, that's a big problem. And people are going to want to step away from this. But what they're a little bit, you know, some what I would say people are a little bit less aware of is all these little bits of emotional pain caused by frequent or escalated arguments. I know I have several clients currently that where that's the situation and their spouse is pulling away and they're saying, I need to move out because there's too many arguments. Certainly, you know, if any of you have spent any number of time on in our group, you know that infidelity is not an uncommon occurrence when there's troubled relationships. And people are going to want to step away from the reminders that they've been cheated on. We talked about physical abuse, but even I get a lot of people coming in saying that their spouse is complaining about emotional abuse, and they're just not sure why that label is being put on it, but people are going to want to step away from that. Even things like neglect, if there are a lot of bids for attention or bids to meet needs, that can hurt if those bids go unmet over and over and over again. I mean, we could go into all the little different things. I think a good summary is what we were talking about actually last week. We were talking about the other week, some of the key foundational categories for a healthy marriage. It's a big piece of, you know, when I'm assessing a relationship, you know, making sure there's fulfillment, feedback, intimacy, positive regard, and commitment. And especially if there are really huge problems in any of those areas, people tend to want to pull away from that. That's not too uncommon. You know, I know a lot of you might say, okay, I get it. My spouse is pulling away because of that. And I'm different and I can change now. And we want to get to a bit like, how do we solve that? Like, how do we get around some of that resistance in a bit? But what about some other causes, Heather?
Yeah, so sometimes there's just a lot of ambivalence, right? There's just a lot of apathy. And so they see this as a solution to that. Mm-hmm. So they can also leave because they feel like they've been stuck. Maybe things have just been too complacent for too long. Sometimes they're trying to like wake up their partner. I've seen that happen. I'm sure you have too, Mark. Like that they'll miss me when I'm gone. So then they'll get out of their apathetic state. But there is this happens a lot when there's an issue with a lot of avoidance, right? Avoiding problems, avoiding discussing issues, avoidance of commitment, a lack of interest, you know, or just overall investment in the relationship. Mark, what have you seen around ambivalence or apathy?
So yeah, like specifically, when I wrote this out, I was actually thinking of a recent conversation that I had, and it was interesting. The husband was separated and at the same time was saying, you know, I love you. I'm always going to be in love with you. I'm just not sure how I feel anymore. And like, he was expressing a lot of things, like he's felt this way for some time and just nothing was happening in the relationship. And so in this case, like, you know, sometimes we look at this, we see midlife crisis when these feelings show up, but it's not always that. It's more like people feel stuck. They don't feel like anything is progressing. If we had to look at what kind of need this is affecting, I really like Chloe Madonis's 6 basic emotional needs. You know, it's the situation is lacking the need for growth and progression, or, you know, it could be other things as well. But I'm just thinking, in a lot of cases where there aren't really super hard feelings or negative feelings, sometimes people can step away towards separation if there isn't a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And they're tired of not feeling anything. They're tired of sitting around and nothing being better. Because for the most part, people don't want to invest in a relationship that is just there and feeling mediocre.
Right. Yeah. And especially if you feel like you're tired because you're just sitting around, like Mark said, and not doing anything, then this becomes like a solution, because then at least you're able to do something. Like,
yes,
make something happen. And so with your actions, then you're able to kind of like feel like you're having some sense of control or solution there. And then another one that we see is another really common one of I need to be separate. I need space. I need to go away from the marriage to find myself, right?
Yes.
And this tends to be a problem when the partner has not been vocal or decisive about some of their needs, maybe for an extended period of time, or maybe those were not rewarded. And so they just continue to not express their needs, right? And this is like really stereotypical, right? Of the burnt out parent, you know, the overworked business person, or someone that just tends to be really overgiving and over accommodating. And then all of a sudden they just kind of hit this point, like, I'm so burnt out. That's it. I need to go find myself. Right. And we see this again, often with midlife crisis, and also just other major changes in life as well. Sometimes empty nesters, new parents, you know, all those different transitions there can kind of trigger this, like, I've been giving for so long, and now I feel like I have nothing left to give. So I just need to get away. It's kind of the pattern that we see happen there. What have you seen, Mark?
Yeah, I want to admit, like, over the weekend, both my wife Jen and I weren't really feeling well. It wasn't any sort of serious illness, but it really left both of us feeling very drained. Mm. And the kids also were feeling very similarly. And we had, there's a lot of asks over the weekend. And I will be honest, you know, my wife and I sat down one point and we're like, you know what? I just feel like going somewhere else. And yeah. Making myself not available. But it was very much this sort of feeling, like there's a lot of asks and I don't have enough resources myself to be present for other people's needs. Now, if I can imagine if we took the same thing and I wasn't able to go talk to my wife about it, or we take the same thing and we extend out those feelings for a big, long length of time, well, what are people going to do? They're going to say, I need to separate. I need to have my own place where people aren't going to get upset if I want something for myself. They're not going to get upset if I want to sit down and watch my own TV show, or if I want to go for a walk, or if I want to engage in my whatever it happens to be.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, these are, I would say, fairly broad categories, but I think a lot of cases fit into these. Not, I'm not going to say this is exhaustive either, but, you know, I think it's good to ask yourself, what kind of situation is causing this, and what kind of solution is your spouse seeking out? Because I think it's very different if we're approaching this because your spouse is saying, this hurts too much, versus I don't have space for myself, versus I just want anything to happen because things have been stagnant too long. Those, I think, I feel are very different sort of scenarios and should have different solutions. So it's right. good to understand.
Not a cookie cutter approach. So yeah, leave a comment after you've kind of gone through these of which one you feel like you might be in right now, if you guys are separated or talking about separation, or even if you had separation in the past. If none of them really fit, then that's okay too. Like we said, this is not an exhaustive list and it's often the culmination of a lot of different things. So let us know what you are dealing with and then we will respond to every comment that you guys give us. So Mark, if these are some, you know, common frames here, we outlined three main kind of common frames of mind when facing separation, then what needs to happen? This is everyone's question, right? To save your marriage. In fact, I've often heard many people in masterclasses say, is it even possible to turn things around if we're separated? They'll be like, well, what if we're separated? What if we've been separated 9 months? What if we've been separated 2 years? Like we have conversations with people just like that every single day. In fact, many of our clients come to us and they've been separated for multiple months, sometimes even a few years. So I want to ask this first question, is it possible? Because I think that's the one thing people want to know more than anything. And then if it is possible, how do we actually do it?
Sure. I'm going to sidetrack it just a little bit here because I want to point, I like to point out the obvious solution because it's good to acknowledge this because I'm sure a lot of you have probably tried. Like the obvious solution here is to either go to your partner and say, hey, let's fix this, or hey, let's provide what's missing. We could say, okay, they don't want the relationship to be ambivalent. They need to find themselves. They need to step away from pain. Great, I will provide those solutions. And I'm guessing that you all are here because obvious solutions didn't actually go anywhere. I mean, this is kind of like the big point, like why it's helpful to get some professionals because, you know, there are some very clear solutions to a lot of situations. And yet, oftentimes, there's resistance and there's problems being able to implement the obvious solutions. Like a lot of our clients that come to us and say, okay, I get it. I understand what the problems are. I understand what the concerns are, but they just don't want things to be fixed. And I want to say that likely there are one or two things going on is you haven't addressed the one of these issues. It's either there's a lack of a clear plan of action, or I think there is a lack of hope, as in there's been too many plans. So there's been too many attempts at repair and not enough results. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that are probably getting in your way that need to be resolved if your spouse wants to even consider coming back. Like basically your partner who's resisting reconciliation and fixing things and coming back to the house doesn't see a clear way for things to be fixed. Either the solutions are too vague, there hasn't been enough follow through, there hasn't been good communication with efforts towards solutions. Maybe the expectations haven't been super clear. There's lots of different things that can happen that cause these issues, like not feeling like there's a clear plan or losing hope because too many solutions and not enough outcome. So I do want to kind of get around those things. And I think this is actually like, this is my solution is like, okay, we need to fix those two things. And this is how to save your marriage, even if you're separated. But before we get into the specific solutions, I want to discuss just a little bit what's going on. I want to get a little bit more personal and into like the mindset of these sort of scenarios. Heather, I know this is probably like a really personal question, and this is, but that's kind of the point of these podcasts. I mean, have you ever thought about walking away, and how were you feeling in those moments? And I want to ask you, what helped you? Because I think some insight here would be helpful before we can just dive into the solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, I have thought about walking away from my marriage. Ben and I have been married almost 17 years, and there's been times I'm like, this is not working. And I would definitely fall into the category where it felt like too much pain. And it felt like pain because we didn't know how to solve problems, how to give and receive feedback. We did not know how to feel feel understood, or make the other person feel understood, or feel like it was safe to talk about things. Hmm. So it made me feel very stuck and like, okay, well, if we aren't able to work this out, then what other options are there? Maybe we should just get some space from each other for a while. I remember after going through cancer, we were living in a camper trailer on Ben's parents' land. And so we had 6 kids in a camper trailer all summer long. And I was still going through cancer treatment. And it just kind of like all brought to a head. And one night I was like, I can't do this anymore, Ben. He came home from work, and instead of coming to talk to me, he went to go talk to his parents and didn't even like come see me for 2 hours because he was going through a lot. And now I look back and try to get his perspective. He wanted a safe place to go and talk about things and decompress and feel like he was supported through all these great challenges that we were going through. But I just felt abandoned. And I felt like, if you're not here anyway, then why am I doing all this, right? Why am I in the camper cooking dinner for everyone and working my tail off and going through cancer treatment just to have my husband like not even come say hi to me? It was one of those moments. It was just like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, right? And so I was like, I'm just going to go into the Springs and stay at a hotel or something. Didn't even know what I'd do because we had like no money to really to do that. But I was like, I'll figure it out. And that's actually time where I did drive away. And it was really scary and sad, but I didn't get very far. I think I got like 2 miles or something. I don't know. I remember watching the mile counter on the car and just eventually pulled over and I was like, what am I doing? You know? And I realized I was just feeling abandoned. I was feeling hurt. I was feeling like I didn't know how to communicate these things. I didn't know how to resolve these things. And I wasn't even sure if I had a partner who wanted to. Because all of his actions in my mind through the story that I was looking at things was that he didn't want to be invested in the relationship. He wasn't trying to understand me. He wasn't committed to helping me feel, you know, helping us have a supportive relationship that felt like it was going both ways, right? And so I just realized like it wasn't so much about any of those things. I just had this moment of like looking inside on what I was really creating and the story that I was telling myself. And I realized if I continued to believe that same story, which the underlying root of it was I didn't feel good enough, I didn't feel like I was worthy of having a really healthy, happy relationship, that story was going to just continue to perpetuate itself, right? And so I had to have the hope that things could get better, that somehow we would figure it out, and that Ben really does love me and I really love him. We're just, for some reason, like missing each other lately, like not getting each other at all. And so that is always the first step. And that's one of the first steps that we start with our clients, is to understand your spouse's perspective. Yes. You listen to our podcast for a while, we say these things over and over and over. And this is before I even knew this method that we're teaching you guys all now. But I had to learn, like I had to ask myself, what is Ben really thinking? Why is he feeling this way? Why is he so guarded against me? Like, why do I feel like he's abandoning me? Why do I feel unworthy of love, right? Just asking some really deep questions and opening up myself to understand where he was coming from. And then as we started to share more openly, then that built some deeper levels of trust and safety. And that continued to restore things in a good direction. It's a process, of course. It still took years before I felt like we were in a really good, solid place. But yeah, so I definitely understand those feelings of like, I don't even know what to do. So I don't even know if they want to work on it with me. It's so painful here. Maybe just some space would be good. I've also felt like, well, if he isn't willing to work on things with me, then I'm just going to leave so that he can recognize how much he actually wants me, like how much I actually do for everyone, like feelings of being underappreciated. Right. So I definitely resonate, or not resonate, but I relate and I remember what those feelings are like. And going through that process myself. Mark, do you feel like sharing as well?
Yeah, sure. I was writing this, you know, the other day, And actually, my wife, Jen, came into the room and she saw what I was writing here. And she's like, you know, looking at me is like, okay, this is an interesting topic. And I turned to her and I asked, have you actually ever really seriously considered separating? And, you know, we looked at each other for a moment and said, no, not seriously. And I had to think about that for a bit. And certainly there's been like moments, and I shared this with her. So there's certainly been moments where I felt like, why do I have to deal with this? I just want to, like you were explaining earlier, I just want to drive away. I think a lot of what allowed, say, Jen or I, even though when we felt like that, what's allowed us to keep coming back and not really get to that point of separation is we've really tried to foster an ability to be open with each other about how we feel. Especially more in recent years. I'm going to say we weren't as good. We certainly weren't very good at this in, you know, earlier years in our marriage. We've been married. We actually hit 17 years in July. But in later years, you know, we've been much better about being able to take that feedback a little bit easier, taking responsibility for our own pieces of the problems, following up with concerns has been a big helpful thing, you know, as in if Jen's coming to me and complaining about something, not just providing a solution right then and there, but following up a little bit later and checking in to see if that's actually working for her or vice versa. But basically, you know, if I had to sum everything up, there was openness, attentiveness, and an ability to safely discuss really hard topics, as well as like a good a fair amount of decisive action. I'm going to say Jen and I aren't perfect in love in many areas of our life, but we have invested a lot into making sure our relationship feels healthy. But, you know, a big reason why we've never really seriously contemplated this is because we've always had a clear path to resolve the issues. You know, once the emotions die down, once we actually have a bit more of a clear head, then there's a clear path forward. And that's always been very helpful. And that gets into our suggestions. From what you were sharing, Heather, and a little bit what I was sharing here, I think there are some themes. I think there are, you know, it's certainly not the same stories, but I think there are some similarities here. And so we want to go over maybe just a few suggestions. If you're finding yourself at this point where you're not sure what to do and your spouse is considering separation, what do we do about this, Heather?
Yeah, I really like the clear plan on how to resolve issues, right? So mm-hmm. One of those main points there is just really be decisive, right? Meaning be proactive about making some conversations happen, not just letting things get swept under the rug or just thinking it's hopeless and so you just give up, right? It means being confident, but not in a pushy way, right? In having some solutions and creating some solutions together. And sometimes that means taking action first, especially if your partner's checked out and not willing to work on things. And oftentimes that's where most of you are going to start. Most of our clients start taking action first because their spouse is unwilling to do things, right? So even if your partner is participating in solutions with you right away, it still is helpful for you to take action first and to say that, hey, I know that things are tough right now, or I know that, you know, maybe I don't feel like I have a voice, or you don't feel like you have a voice, or maybe I need to find myself, or you need to find yourself, or any of those things where things have been painful or volatile, but let's be committed here to creating a relationship that we both really want. And, or maybe if that's too far, because sometimes we push for commitment too soon, right? So we need to be mindful of that, but hey, let's commit to really trying to understand each other, or let's commit to really opening up and being honest with how we're feeling, or let's commit to speaking to each other with respect, right? So making some clear requests is really important. That's a little bit later what we're going to talk about, but deciding that that's what you want and having like an intention for your relationship is really, really important. Because Mark, sometimes we see that people think separation is just going to somehow solve the problem by itself. Oh, yeah. Just somehow like being separated is going to be the solution. And we hear some things out there from other coaches, like, and therapists or whatever, what is it, like a 45 day no contact?
I think it's usually the typical number is 30 day,
whatever I've heard. Yeah. So 30 day no contact rule. And while there is some elements of good that can come from the next part, which is creating space, right? The space in and of itself usually only creates more distance and space unless there's a plan to resolve things. So just creating space or distance between you is not going to be the end all be all solution. So be decisive and proactive about what that separation is going to mean and how you're going to move things forward beyond this time of separation, if you're going to have one or if you're in one right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like some recent conversations that I've had with clients who have recently, you know, experienced some separation, and they're, I thought it was interesting some of the questions that they're posing towards me. They're saying, okay, well, do I continue talking to my spouse? Do I try to resolve things? Do I have this conversation with them? And you know, a lot of the questions were kind of centered, and this is like, I'm thinking about three or four different conversations I've had even in the last week. A lot of these questions were about like, do I take these simple actions? Because they're so afraid of pushing their spouse further away. They weren't sure exactly what was so upsetting, and there'd been a lot of emotion. But I think, you know, with our suggestion of being decisive, I think sometimes having someone who feels a bit more confident in the situation and feel like they have it all together a little bit. Someone who's saying, okay, well, here's a problem here. I'm going to start doing something about it. Even if like that doing something is, I'm going to take time to be a little bit patient and, you know, gain some perspective and understanding, let's see what's going on. I'm going to be decisive and I'm going to make sure that I'm at least approaching you and asking to have a conversation about what's going on. I think having someone who is a little bit more structured and has it all together can help things feel a lot more secure and just a little bit more stable, which is what what we really want, especially when there's a separation. Now, we were just talking about other people and their other professionals and their rule for 30 days of space or 30 days of no contact. And oddly enough, our next suggestion is actually creating space, but it's not actually in the way that you think it might mean. What I mean by creating space is, I mean, don't be overly pushy or demanding. If your partner is saying, I need to separate, we need to be a little bit respectful of that. And we need to make sure that you're not pushing so much that it feels like you're not in touch with what reality is and what's going on. I also think that creating space also means having a safe space for your partner to feel the way that they feel. If they're saying, this is bad, this is, you know, I don't feel good, I just need some ability to be myself, and you're in there and saying, no, please come back, please fix this with me. I mean, Heather and I, we frequently talk about, like, let's tone down some of that desperation and some of that neediness. And what I'm saying here is you might need to take a bit of time to calm down, or trust that, you know, basically trust in some of the solutions. It isn't going to be all that effective if you just push in with all your solutions and you become very demanding. I think also here, you know, creating some space means that there's room for acceptance and understanding around how people have been hurt. I get a lot of people in that say, you know, well, here's my partner, they're separating and they're complaining about X, Y, and Z. I don't get how they can say that. I've always been there for them. And how dare they say that I haven't? And where is the, I mean, this is, I would my feedback to those people, I'm saying, it sounds like this is actually part of the problem, part of the pattern that they're expressing, that they don't have any room to make these complaints. And that's why I'm saying create space, and it doesn't actually mean what maybe some of the other professionals are saying by create space, by actually distancing yourself and not talking to them.
Right. It actually means like creating emotional safety might be another word for it, by creating emotional space to allow everyone to feel what they're really feeling, and for that to be okay, and for there to be room and acceptance around people who have been hurt, right? And not pushing or demanding them, which is only going to push them further away, and be a safe harbor, right? For feelings and emotions, gaining perspective and understanding, right? We always come back home to that. But what we see more often than not is that it's like they're so in their story of why this isn't working and why they want out. And you are so in your story of why you want them back and how scary it is for you, that you're both in a completely selfish realm. Like, it just is. Can we just call it for what it is? Like, you're worried about self and they're worried about self. Okay. And so it's like when we lay down that, and that's normal, it's instinctual to want to protect yourself and want yourself to be happy, but you're not in a relationship. A healthy relationship is not always, it's not about self. It's right about coming together as one. And so you have to put down your own desires for them to come back, for you to feel good. And you need to understand what they're going through and give them space and grace and permission to have their experience, right? And we call it sometimes validation, right? It's another way of using these same words, understanding, acceptance. I'm like, I see that this is true for you. I see that you feel the way that you feel. I'm giving you space to do that. If we don't, no one feels respected. No one feels heard. It's not attractive, right? It's repulsive. You repel each other. Truly, like, repulsive is a beautiful word for that, because it's what you're what's happening there. So after we've created some of this emotional safety or this safe harbor for feelings and emotions, then like the other suggestion here is to build trust with clear and open communication. I mentioned making clear requests. Mm-hmm. So this has been transformative for me. You know, if I'd gone back to that camper scene when I was making spaghetti and Ben went up to talk to his parents again after so many nights of doing the same thing and I felt abandoned, a clear request I could have made is, Ben, I would really appreciate it that when you come home, you just come and give me a kiss and a hug and say hi. And then if you want to go talk to your parents, I understand that that's something. But for me, it would make me feel heard and seen and valued by you. Like, that would be a clear request. Is that something that you can help me with? Is that something that you can accommodate me with? And how can I help support you in what you're needing and what you're wanting, right? And then we come together as a team to both help each other feel safe and secure. Instead of I'm trying to fight to get my needs met, I feel rejected. He's trying to fight to get his needs met. He feels alone and he wants to feel supported, right? And that helps us both be understanding of where we're coming from and be able to meet those needs. Clear requests cut through all the complaining. They cut through all the crap, basically, right? And get us on the same side of the table there. So sometimes, like, feeling like things are failing or that there is no hope is, you know, a specific mindset. Mm-hmm. And mindsets like this, they can be built up, reinforced, and told again and again. We call this sometimes the narrative, right? Narrative, Ben doesn't support me. Ben doesn't care. Ben's abandoning me emotionally. Like, you know, Ben would rather be with his family than with me. That's a story built up, reinforced again and again and again. But those same stories can also be challenged. And we can look at it. Is there another way of looking at this? Challenge. What is my spouse really thinking and feeling? Why are they really doing what they're doing? Assumption checkers, right? So challenge that story. Challenge your own assumptions, right? And then those stories can be diminished and even replaced, and a new story can be built up. So Mark, what have you seen as far as, you know, this clear and open communication that helps to build some trust?
Yeah, I think I would say this is probably like a good foundational piece of our program. Something that we tend to really focus in on is that story or narrative. And it's really important that there is good communication around these specific messages. I mean, when we're working with clients, we refer to these as home messages, things that you keep coming back to over and over again. And we really try to make sure that the messages that you're trying to build up, the stories that you're trying to build up, are very purposeful, thoughtful, that you're not just kind of stumbling around with the kind of story that you are building. Because you're right, like, when it gets to this point, it's very, very easy to have some of those intrusive thoughts where you're saying, my spouse doesn't care about me. They didn't call me, therefore they must not love me. They didn't, you know, say hi. It must mean that they are angry with me today. And so on and so forth. And it's really important to really take a close look and challenge some of those assumptions and communicate some of the more positive, conscientious, or purposeful messages that you're trying to build up. Now, we're putting this suggestion in the framework of like building trust with some of this open and clear communication, because I'm going to point out, if you're just trying to start on this and your spouse is either separated or considering separation, the first time you try to approach some of these new narratives, it's not going to be like snapping your finger and they're going to automatically buy into that, these new ideas or stories right away. It takes a little bit of time to build up, and you kind of have to be consistent and demonstrate what's, you know, the message that you're trying to build there. And that's why I'm saying, hey, it's time for you to be decisive, go first, and be conscientious and purposeful in how you are going about some of these solutions.
Right. And oftentimes it's very challenging to understand even what our own stories are versus truth, and what your spouse's story really is, and the underlying reasons why they feel that way. And so if you want help with that, then leave a comment, say me, because that's what we help our clients do every single day. And we help you craft the kind of home messages that are going to help create a new story for both you and your spouse. Just to kind of bring this all together here, you know, if your spouse feels like nothing can be done, right? Nothing will change. Solutions don't exist. Or you feel that, like I felt that, right? Then there needs to be some more open communication about those concerns. Why do you feel like we can't talk about things? Why do you feel like there isn't a solution? Why do you feel like nothing will ever change, right? As well as some clear direction as to how those concerns are being addressed, and start to build up that muscle of being able to give and receive feedback, which is one of the key pillars of a healthy relationship. And we can help you get there, even if things have deteriorated to the point where you're on the verge of divorce, you are currently separated, right? So my friends, ultimately, if your marriage is at the point of separation, then like Mark mentioned, things have become complicated. There's more to it than what we shared today, right? This is the tip of the iceberg. And so we don't want you to assume that simply following these small bits of advice are just going to solve everything or solve them overnight. And we strongly encourage that you seek out professional guidance, either through us or another relationship expert that you resonate with. And make sure that you are guided along this journey so that you can get to the destination that you really want to have. And so if you guys want to take our free quiz, we have one online to know if there's hope to save your marriage or not. You can just leave a comment, say quiz in the comments here below on Facebook, YouTube, all the podcast channels, and we will get you that quiz. If you want to talk to a marriage expert right away, you can go to highthrivecoaching.com/apply and have a marriage analysis session with us and learn about how coaching might be able to help you get navigate the challenges of separation successfully, because this is what we do every single day. And we've helped now so many thousands of clients to do that. So you're not alone and you can get there. So let's go now to our marriage myth buster. In the right relationship, your feelings are constant and will never change. Taking this maybe as an idea of like, we should always feel exactly in love the same way, and that feeling of love will never change. Is that kind of how you're interpreting that?
Yeah. Okay. I really find it fascinating how often this sort of idea creeps into a relationship. Like, almost like it's unacceptable if some of those romantic feelings or some of that lovey-doveyness or just even general satisfaction dips for a bit.
Right. So prevalent.
Very, very prevalent. And yet, like, even in like the standard typical wedding vows, at least here in the US, you know, like most people even build into those vows, the idea of sticking together for better or for worse in sickness and in health. Like, it's built into what is essentially the agreement of marriage. You're saying, hey, it's not always going to be 100% all the time.
Yep.
But, you know, studies show that general happiness and even marital contentment tends to be higher earlier in the relationship, and that there's typically a drop off, usually once real life becomes a bit more of the norm and the couple begins to be a little bit more comfortable with each other and extra stressors are introduced, whether developing careers, more children, any number of other things. It's just when you start stacking on those stressors because you've just been with each other for a long time, it makes sense that you have to pull some energy, some attention from somewhere. Like most everyone, I think, acknowledges and understands that feelings change, but not a whole lot, in my opinion, are prepared to actually face it when it happens. And I think lasting relationships, ones that can get through those dips in that lovey romantic sort of mood, are the ones that learn to self-correct. The ones that are willing to look at why feelings are changing and do something about it. I actually really like Gottman's opinion on this. I think he says it best when he talks about the most important skill in a relationship is actually, it's not like communication or, you know, like building up romance. It's not like whether you're lighting the candles for dinner or whatever it happens to be. It's actually being able to repair things when it goes wrong. Because the assumption here is it's going to go wrong at some point. So anticipating that things will go wrong and learning how to fix things once the relationship inevitably breaks down is super important. And I've got to say over and over again, the couples that end up sticking together long term, I have not found a single example where that's not the case, where they haven't had some challenge that they had to work through, that they had to recommit to the relationship. So all of you saying, hey, it's not okay that I don't feel anything right now, that my feelings have changed. It's just not right. I'll say
what kind of how I think about it, Mark, is that those are cloud nine chasers. I see these people that are maybe even almost emotional addicts to the feeling of falling in love, and that they go from one relationship sometimes, right? I've seen this happen with people I've met doing this work and in my life, right? Where they chase one relationship and the cloud nine high feeling of the lovey-dovey romance and all the passion and fireworks and sparks. And then as soon as they get a whiff of that fading or changing, they're off to the next relationship, right? And they get the same lovey-dovey feeling, and then that fades, and then you know, so we almost become sometimes addicted to that feeling, or just have the unrealistic expectation that that's supposed to last the entire marriage. And that if it's lacking in any way, then something's wrong. Yeah. It's not that something's wrong. It's that things are changing and you have to be adaptable. Another analogy I'd like to throw out there is like, we just bought this new house, right? Okay. We have 8 children, family of 10, could not find a house in the market anywhere near close to our size. So we're building this thing in phases, right? But we have a little bit of honeymoon syndrome with our new house because it's just so pretty. And it's just all the walls are clean. There's no marks, right? There's no stains or poop on the carpet till this morning, right? But every time, yeah, I have a toddler. She pooped on the carpet this morning. So every time someone poops on the carpet, right? Or makes a hole in the wall, right? Or that the paint in the shower is starting to peel a little bit from the moisture. It's like devastating. It's like really hard to handle because you're like, it's brand new. But that comes from the same thing here. Like a good solid house that lasts for years. And you've all been in, right? Well, we've all been inside a house that was maybe 20, 30 years old, but it looks great. It's been well maintained. It's been cleaned. It's been well cared for. And yeah, it might show some signs of age, but it's almost like, wow. The feeling here is really of one of a lot of devotion to this house, right? And so it's unrealistic for Ben and I to think that there's never going to be a chip on the wall, or, you know, that the kid's not going to ever poop on the carpet and I'm going to have to scrub the carpet now, right? Or that everything is going to stay pristine. that only leads to dissatisfaction and unhappiness if that was our expectation, right? I think Tony Robbins says, when you change your expectation for appreciation, you change your life. I think I got it right. And that's really true. So in order for Ben and I to have a long-lasting physical home, we're going to have maintenance. We're going to have to do repair. We're going to have to do, you know, damage control with the poop in the carpet, right? And so that needs to be part of the plan. So things are going to go wrong here in our physical structure. Things are going to go wrong in our relationships. We're going to need to learn how to repair things in order to maintain them and have them be beautiful and lasting. And some, you know, even with time, even stronger and better than ever before. So hopefully that is of service to you guys. Leave a comment. Let us know what stood out to you the most. Hopefully it was not all my references to poop on the carpet. but let us know how we can serve you best. And if you feel like this would be of service to someone else, please share this video. And if you want a supportive community, I encourage you guys to join our Facebook group. We'll put the link right here, our Thriving Marriage Facebook group, where you can join other people just like you wanting to build a healthy marriage for life. So thank you, Mark. You want to announce our topic for next week?
Yes. Our topic next week is we're going to share three steps to repair after an argument.
Wonderful. All right, thank you, guys. Take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.